Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show of Bates Motel Season 5, Episode 1 of Season 5, Dark Paradise. Lots to talk about. Let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, my girl, Etta James right there.
Yeah, your girl. I'm glad none of us tried to sing that, by the way, coming in. I was definitely afraid, Joe, you were going
to
come in.
You know that this is the song my wife and I danced to at my wedding.
Yeah, I was there.
Damn right, you were there. And that was, what was that? We were, I think, 25 and 23, respectively. Because at last, we had to wait so long.
20 years ago. Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show, Bates Motel, Season 5, the final season. We have finally arrived. I'm Joe Braswell. It's good to be back. I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Dua Casey. Hi, Dua.
Hi. Hey.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you again. Welcome, everybody.
And also by the equally lovely Julia Carey.
Hi, guys. Missed you.
Good to see you as well.
So excited about Bates Motel. So stoked about it.
And the man who very tastefully decided not to step on Etta James. Joe Sanfilippo.
Nice to be here with you guys. You don't mess with Etta James.
No.
It was clearly the better choice.
Yeah, no. So we're very excited to be back. This is the final season. First of all, we've been doing this for 5 seasons, guys.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. And thank you for all of you guys watching on YouTube and listening on iTunes who've been listening to us this whole time. We really appreciate you.
If there was a kid that started high school when we first started this, this means that they're in the first year of college right
now? That's weird.
Yes. That means that means you can finally have sex with them. What? That's for you. I've got daughters. I kid. We both have daughters. We wouldn't do that. Anyway, I'm back. Bates Motel. Wow. So for Julia and Joe and I, we do some other shows. Not disparaging the other shows we do, but this happens to us every single year. We're doing another show that won't be named. On the blacklist, that is not...
His discipline is inspiring. Yes.
with some fine actors, at least one or two, but every time we turn the corner and get to the Bates Motel, every time we get to this time of the year...
It's just better.
We are just reminded how amazing it's supposed to be. Like, it's so good to be back. I want to just set the table with a couple things and I'll get your guys' initial thoughts. Again, we've all been sort of like doing a bullet train to this kind of moment. Like, we've been talking about since season one how Bates Motel is a prequel to Psycho and how they're going to get to Psycho. Now, we always actually thought that maybe they would run us up to right before Psycho started, but actually, looks like season 5 will actually be Psycho. Like, a lot like Hannibal did with some of the other... The novels and the movies. So this is, Tom Harris, thank you. This is going to be really interesting. We know Rihanna's going to be cast as Marion Crane, so we know that Norman's putting up shower curtains. Like, we see the writing's on the wall here, and I think they've done an amazing job of reimagining what we thought this is like to be carting your dead mother around, and it's just super exhilarating to see this A, come to life, B, how much they've earned this after 5 seasons, and C, the spectacular acting of Vera Farmiga and Freddie Highmore. Dua, what did you think when you saw this thing?
I love this episode. I love that they opened on the episode and it was happy because it was so dark at the end of last season. I was actually kind of dreading getting into the first episode. I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be really thick.
Right.
But it was happy. The lighting was really happy. It was just him and his mom. They were playing, Bing Crosby's "You Must Have Been a Beautiful Baby." Like, Juno was there. Like, Juno. All the crazy
Juno
was out
so
to play.
Happy too, by the way, it's the happiest dog ever.
I love that dog. That dog is the harbinger of crazy. You know when Juno shows up, he's in fantasy land.
Yeah. It's awesome. I thought the same thing.
You're like, oh, it's crazy.
Juno showed up. I was like, oh, we're doing it. Yeah. Okay, we're just jumping in there. Here's Juno.
And yeah. I love the way they're so great about sort of winking at the audience to let the audience know. They're so, Carrie Aaron, those guys are so smart about that. Like, there's that minute when he's like, Juno, hello, boy. I'm like, oh, boy. He always announces him, Juno, it's you.
Yeah, mom's downstairs cooking breakfast.
Yes.
Of course she is. Julia, what did you think?
I loved it. Like, I thought it was so satisfying. It just, like, everything I wanted it to be for the first episode, I was just... It was everything I wanted it to be. I thought it played that balance, that duality balance of, like, reality versus fantasy, light versus dark so well that I was into it, and it answered some questions right off the jump, which I appreciated. I like that there's a little bit of time lapse to see like his descent into this insanity, that it didn't just happen immediately.
So how much time has passed? Do we know exactly?
Well, at least 9 months.
Exactly.
Well, as dilemma, baby dilemma's out.
Yep.
Yeah, so at least 9 months. Flippo, I'm going to give you an exercise. See if you can, in 30 seconds, tell me how much you love this without mentioning your love for Vera Farmiga.
I don't care for your exercise. I'm not here to play your game. I'm gonna tell you what I saw, and I saw that I love me some Vera Farmiga.
Do ya?
That woman, she is the most amazing actor of her generation.
She's dead or alive?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We were discussing this before the show. She's better than Mary Poppins because Mary Poppins is practically perfect in every way.
Okay.
But Vera is absolutely perfect.
Yep.
All right.
I love her. And this episode's great. It is like you said earlier, before you disparaged another show. It is.
No.
It's kind of like if you've been away and you've been renting a car that's maybe not very nice, and maybe you've been driving the little whatever the hell it is. I don't want to talk about bad anybody's car.
Already.
And then all of a sudden you get upgraded. Maybe in the next place you're in, and you're in this gorgeous, amazing car, and you're like, oh, that's right.
I do love that feeling.
Yeah.
Oof.
That's what this show is like. This show is like the free upgrade that you got, and you're like, oh, shit, that's right. That's what driving an amazing car feels like.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Like, is that Corinthian leather?
Oh, yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, I can't speak enough about, you know, what Carlton Cuse and Carrie Ann have done in this world they've created. We talk a lot about the world they created, but they managed to get this, strike this incredible tone, which is dreadful and serious, because we are talking about a serial killer, you know, guy who has a dead mother in his house. Like, that's what we're watching.
By the way, great shrine work. I mean, he makes a hell of a shrine for a guy who's only going to check in and see it every now and then because he's loopy the rest of the time. Impressive work.
Yeah. But he seems to understand that, though. He seems to understand that his mother's dead, and this is like a secret that they have together.
I don't know if he does. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. But it's the world they created. I mean, the tone between the sort of like dark sort of subject matter, and, you know, and sort of the dread and the real life drama, and also there's a bit of like not so dark humor throughout the whole thing. It sort of winks back through other parts of the series and also back to the original movies. And I think it's just so well done. And I'll talk about those as we go along. But let's get into it. Let's get into the episode itself, because we do have a bit of a time jump, and it's just enough of a time jump that we need, because I don't know that I need to see him stuffing Norma. I don't know if they see the funeral. I don't know.
And they only have 10 episodes left, so let's get right to the good stuff.
I mean, let's cut to the chase. We kind of got what was going to happen at the end of, at the end of season 4.
Did he stuff her? Do you think, is that what he? Because it's in a freezer, right?
He's a taxidermy guy.
He's honing his skills for this moment.
It's like Juno.
Juno is.
There was a thermostat behind his head when he went to the shrine area that was. I thought that was indicative of maybe that makes sense. Maybe it's both.
No. Maybe he probably keeps it cold.
9 months at least.
Yeah.
Well, the baby's what? Like a month? I've never had a baby. Is that a month old baby? 2 months?
But baby's at least 3-4 months old.
Okay. See, I don't know. So I don't know.
Yeah, I can't work until they're 3 months old. I mean, that's just
goddamn labor laws.
Countdown.
State of California won't let them work until they're 3 months old.
I think the time jump is convenient. We get there, we see, as you mentioned, a happy beginning, a happy, this is the couple that weave the couple. That's a Freudian slip. the mother-daughter relationship, as we've seen it a few times in the season, when they're happy and they're loving each other and doing this whole thing. And it was wonderful to see that all play out, but I love the way they did the reveal right before the credits to let the audience know, what we already knew, which is A, that it dissolved in her, like, oh, she's not really there. And they panned back to the kitchen.
Disaster mess.
And, that's normal. And it was dark.
Yeah.
Am I the only one wondering what he's actually eating? Like, what is it?
Yeah, I am wondering that.
Or who's actually doing the dishes? Because it'll show her in scenes like vacuuming, and it's like, does he realize that when it's not vacuumed or when the dishes are all dirty and he's just eating by himself, that his mother isn't actually there? Like,
Well, that's got to be the layover, right? So he's got the.
Does he black out during that time?
Well, let's talk about that.
That's what we
got to
get into.
So let's open question. How is this working? Because we know when he's killing folks, he's blacked out, killing folks.
Right.
He turns into normal. He puts on her gear. We imagine puts on the apron and the dress, and he's going out and doing stuff as normal. We presume.
Yes.
But when he's just sitting around the house shooting the shit, what's happening there.
Let me ask you a question. Now, it seems to me that, and I don't know, I may not have counted well enough, but it seems to me there's at least a three-way split going on with him. Like, there's part of him that knows. He went all the way downstairs into the shrine where she's
dead
on ice,
yep.
Put his head in her lap and said, what dream am I in, mother? So that to me, that's his own
what dream then, am I in, yeah.
Then he talks to her, and they actually have conversations about her not being able to go outside.
Right.
Nobody can know this is our secret, this is our paradise together. So there's that reality as well.
But that one, she said she's pretending to be dead.
She said both.
She said both.
I think it shows the level of mental deterioration that he is experiencing and the multi levels of his deterioration,
right. Yeah.
That he's not exactly sure the place that he's in. Sometimes he talks to her, mm-hmm. saying, like, have you ever had that feeling that you're in the same nightmare,
sure.
but you don't realize, you just feel it. Then he wakes up and then it's a moment of reality. What dream am I in?
Right.
But then in his portrayal of Norma, she's saying everything from, I'm dead, to I'm pretending to be undead.
Sentence.
So
right.
There's confusion. I think he's this season he's going to try to reconcile what she is, what he is, and what they are together.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Because if you imagine every conversation, every scene that they have together, I was literally picturing him just talking to himself,
right.
and her not being
dark,
there.
Effed up kitchen.
Yeah.
Yes.
And her not being there, and this is just really this war with himself that he's having, and I don't think that he can just mentally. He can't mentally deal with the fact that he killed his mother or that his mother is dead. So that part is gone. He chooses not to.
But he also knows that he's mentally ill because he recognizes this because he has his blackouts in his date book. But also when he's having that conversation with Norma and she says, we're doing it. A mentally ill boy and his dead mother. Like, we're doing this.
Yeah, and that's such a normal thing. That's a normal thing.
But then she said. But then she said she's pretending.
Well, she threw that away once.
It was a throw.
But it was that same scene.
It was really poignant that she said it.
Right.
What I find
more. She said, I'm dead. I'm pretending to be dead.
Amazing is again back to sort of the way Vera's performance. This is for you, Joe. Vera's performance. The way she's playing the projected Norma, the Norma that Norman's projecting, that he's feeling, is like she's actually doing a lot. She's being the Norma she always was, she has a lot of the same sort of Norma stuff.
And heightened, even.
And heightened, of course, and in a way that maybe Norman knows that she would be like, I know my mom, she would say this or do that. But there's moments that she's kind of playing to us, the audience, because there's moments where Norma will ask a question, like, what happened there, mother? She's like, I don't know. You do know. Wait a minute, you're dead. What's happening? But it's a great performance because we know that you're really invested in Norma, like, oh, what did you do, Norma? Wait a minute, you're actually Norman, but she's still doing the Norma stuff. So it's a great opportunity for Vera Farmiga to still, you know, do Emmy Award-winning acting Norma stuff, but almost heightened.
Can I tell you something?
Amazing. Go ahead.
I don't think she does any other kind of acting. I just think that's the kind she likes.
Award-winning or nothing.
You know what? If she was out there doing a Kohl's commercial, she'd be killing. I'd be like at the door at Kohl's, 5 in the morning, like, sell me whatever she's selling.
Okay.
She does it. She's that.
Those knee socks.
You know, and like you said, she does, she's got it, but it's nuanced.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's nuanced, and there's fun, and there's wittiness in it.
Which Norma has always had. I do appreciate that Norman's version of Norma is still Norma.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
Not like a fantastical, perfect vision of what she is in his head or
she's
could
nuanced
be.
And
it's
real.
Still his
and they
mother.
Still argue.
Yes.
They
so,
still
and,
have
and maybe that's part of being that psychotic. Do you think do you need that level of sophistication to maintain your fake reality, your fantasy. Does that make any sense to me? Do you think that that's like the degree to which he's able to imagine her as so nuanced is part of what keeps him in it? Does that translate?
Well, he has to be in love with her still, so she has to be the Norma that he fell in love with in the first place.
Who has to be vivacious and interesting.
And keep him in
would
check.
Resent
and
being
still
at home.
His mother at the same time.
Yes, and she would resent being stuck at home.
And that's all of probably his projected resentment of her probably being angry that he killed her.
Right.
Of that, all of that, like, kind of layers of he feels guilty that he killed her, and so this comes out in her resentment towards him about being stuck in the house, but really, it's just him not dealing with the reality that he killed her.
Mm. want to move on. Like, just yeah, keep going down.
God, I love this show so much. Out.
I mean, there were so many that we're good on time, but I want to make sure we get all through the Norma stuff and go back to Romero and then go back to Dilemma.
But I want
to, yeah, we got to get to it, but like, which is next. But I just also wanted to say that back to the script. I think that with the teleplay here, God, man, the information they're giving us subtly, like I said, with the book, with the thing, okay, he knows about his blackouts.
Yep.
That she mentioned the meds. Take your meds. No, I don't want to take my meds. Okay, he's off his meds. Like, yeah. All the stuff they're giving us.
Now, let me ask you about the meds real quickly. Do you think that it seemed to me what was unsaid in if I don't want to take my meds, if I take my meds, you go away?
Maybe.
That seems to me
very
like
true. Unsaid. I didn't think about that.
If I take the meds, mom gone.
I mean, where's my boy, Dr. Gay Edwards, to come check on? His brother come check on Norman? You really think Norman's doing okay,
Edwards?
It's
just cool. There's
a man in a 3 or 4 piece suit with an overcoat, and he's not coming. Yeah, he's got ish to do.
I wonder whatever happened to that kid, Norman.
I think that Dr.
He's fine.
I'm sure Gay Edwards is in the house in some freezer somewhere.
Yeah. The freezer's temporary. They gotta get him out.
Running at the swamp, like back in the old. So let's move on. So he goes and goes off to the hardware store. Also, you know, covered with
hardware store.
Yeah, taxidermy everywhere and
antlers.
Paint.
It's her passion.
There's a hardware store. You want a stuffed bear?
That's
you want
no
some
Ace.
Swatches?
Some that's no Ace hardware.
Yeah, that's what
I've
you
been
want.
There.
I've
just
been
a bunch
there.
Of nails.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the reveal of Miss Loomis there because obviously she's dressed exactly like Norma Bates. She looks like Norma Bates from the back.
Her car is Norma Bates' car.
She is a girl out of time, out of place. Yep.
There was a little bit of it. I'll say it. You know, she's kind of like the little posterior bend that she's. I noticed, and Norman sure as hell noticed because he was like, "Hello," and he was, and Norman had a couple of lines. You know, we talk about Norman's sort of his ability with his ability with the women. He just seems to do well with the women, but he was making some moves in there, very subtle.
You're saying
ones.
That my yes. man Norman was laying track. He
he has some game. He kind of. He's like, "Sir, does your husband like the you know, like?"
Fair enough. Good question.
Like, now I forgot what he said earlier, which is kind of like so. Anyway, but yeah, so Norman, he meets her. He's clearly smitten for obvious reasons because she's lovely and she looks exactly like his mother. So why else would he not want to have sex with her?
How could you not want that?
Who doesn't want to have sex with a woman just like their mother?
Okay. You know, we're all very judgy about this, but yeah. Vera Farmiga is not her mother. So, I mean, you know, in fairness.
And is there a run on those sort of like, you know, sort of vintage 50s style dresses?
There's gotta be.
In White Pine Bay. Is there a store down there with the flower print?
I think there's a couple of spots here in Burbank that ship them right up to White Pine Bay. I mean, there's right up the street. You know? There's a couple of great stores on Magnolia.
So she's lovely.
That's right by my
and have a nice
dresses.
Little exchange. And he drops the whole thing about his mother. He's recovering. And I think that's all part of the rap, by the way.
Yeah, because it's all
that.
Oh,
that's a good line.
Yeah, you she's know, it's like, oh, I'm so lonely up there with my dead mother. So he does all that, and she, they seem to have a little something,
connection?
Maybe. A little connection. And he gets to paint his watches and pulls out his wallet, and he realizes, what the hell is this?
This isn't
my wallet.
That's Jim Blackwell's wallet.
Jim Blackwell?
Who's that guy?
Who's this guy? I don't remember that.
I love that he was honest in that moment.
Yeah.
And it shows that differentiate, like, he's like, he would never steal, this isn't my wallet, I must have had it in my pocket in the lost and found. Right. What is this?
Yeah.
I've
got
to get to the bottom of this.
He got freaked out, though. He got freaked out that he'd done something.
But it's also in sort of, he's also not wanting to admit anything's weird. Like, no, this is just, I made a mistake.
I'll be right back.
Yeah.
You know? But I've left my wallet in the car before, and I've definitely, you know, but what you leave that with is, you know, I'm so embarrassed. I'll be right back. But you don't do this.
Right.
Because then you look sketchy as hell.
Right.
Unless you're sketchy as hell. So I think on some level he knew he'd done something that does not belong. And there's perfectly good...
I think he knew that something was amiss. That's
something
why
was
he's
amiss.
Sort of...
That's why he's like, whoa.
And he never went back. He left the paint there.
Well,
she had to bring it to him.
I don't know. She shows up in the office. I'm like, no way.
Also a good move.
Also a good move. Like, ah.
But also, again, this is a great hardware store in White Pine Bay.
Yeah. The hot chick with the great ass delivers the paint. What?
You forgot your swatches.
And she brings it with a stir and everything. And I always forget the stir. That's good stuff right there.
You can pay me next time.
What? She's coming back?
You can't get that customer service here in L.A.
I'm not going to lie to you. It was one of those moments I was like, you done screwed up, honey. You shouldn't have come up to the office.
So it goes, and so speaking of screwing up, Norman goes and decides to have a conversation with his mother. And look, hot tip. This is a tip, Norman. Alive Norma, dead Norma, Don't tell Norma about the woman.
No,
this never is also woman. Back to his
just
sort of psychosis.
Tip,
but it's also sort of back to what his. I mean, I don't know. I'll ask you guys: is this his guilt? Is this his like? I mean, it's a conversation he's having with himself.
Yes. So this is.
Is this what's happening there?
He was always guilty. He was never okay. I think that he felt guilty just talking to her. But he had, even when Norma was alive, there was always this, how old is she? Do you remember that scene with Emma when Emma first came to the house? And she was just thrilled when she found out that she had cystic fibrosis and that she could only be alive till 25.
Right.
So there's always that. I don't even think that he knows how to react around women without feeling his mother's jealousy behind him.
How many girls has he killed so far? I know we did this at one point or another, but how many are we up to?
We don't know. There's been a time lapse.
But I mean, at least that we are aware of.
I don't have the number in front of me, but that's something maybe you guys can tell us.
At least four or five, isn't it?
It's a lot. There's Bradley. There's
Mrs. I don't remember her name. The teacher.
Yeah.
The thing that's interesting to me, and it seems to me this is almost like it's one of those meta things, because the show does mess with us in a lot of ways, because we root so much for Freddy because he's such a likable guy.
Mm-hmm.
You still want him. So when he meets the girl, there's a party that's like, yeah. No, there's a part of me that's going like, that'd be great if no, and I was almost disappointed she was married. I'm like, oh, that's so sad. And then I'm like, no, she might get to live if she doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And him not wanting to him manifesting mom the way he does to be up against all these against any woman is protecting. Yeah. But I like the way the show messes with us. I enjoy
that.
Instead,
he just
aspect.
Decides to jerk off with David Davidson. And
yeah, we'll get to that.
I got a prediction about my man David Davidson.
Right. Kind of what's hot. Up,
Joey Joerson?
Joerson? I think my man David Davidson is married to the girl at the
That's what store. I was thinking.
Oh, that's the husband.
I think that's the husband. Yeah. I think he's going to go into a rage.
Yeah, he's going to kill him first before he kills her. Of course.
Well, I was always wondering who the woman was that he was with because I love the way that they shot that. They didn't show her face under the umbrella, and you couldn't see her in the shot. So who is she?
Hello.
We'll to that. So and I think. I want to touch on that scene since we're here. Let's just get on it. Like that, the whole checking in Mr. David Davidson into the hotel, and you know, removing the thing and doing his voyeur thing. This is something that's interesting. This is a choice that in the remake of Psycho, that Gus Van Sant made that choice with Vince Vaughn playing Norman to actually have Norman actually doing some stuff down there.
Yep.
To himself.
While he was watching
that.
Anne Heche.
Yes. And like the original Norman, we imagine that he was just getting some sort of pleasure from in 1960. But in the remake, you know, they had him actually had him, you know, jerking off. If you can
Heidi ho to the old hand. Heidi,
yes. And this. How's that? Is that the technical term?
Heidi a ho to the old ham hog?
All right. Oh, the old ham hog, Joe.
Heidi ho. Heidi ho to the old ham hog.
Is it a ham hog or hand hog?
Ham hog.
It's like ham hog.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like a little.
I'm no doctor.
I don't know. My
ham hock's not little, by the way. The ones that
I really wish I'd had time to place a bet. I thought it would be about 9-12 seconds. It took about four before he made
the point. Is that he's saying "Heidi ho" to the old ham hock?
Yes,
like no problem. And then again, another wink, another thing in the script is when his mother calls him to interrupt him again. That's just him in his own guilt calling himself.
Uh-huh.
He says, "Love I'm that. Coming, mother."
And he stood there. He stood there twitching long enough for that to go either way.
Like, something like, I'm about...
I gotta get it. This is too much ham hock happening right here in the grill.
Some apologies already. A YouTube apology. Anyway, so
they already twitched.
Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable. And it was very funny because there's another one of those psychotic meta moments. Like when that phone rang, because I knew all it was a picture between him and them, I was like, oh shit, he's gonna get caught. And then I was like, no, the phone didn't ring.
That's a blabbing phone.
Yeah,
he's cool. He's not gonna get caught.
And of course, mother, lower your voice, mother.
Yes,
that was my favorite. It's really good. And by the way, Freddie Highmore also great job. By the way, he's really doing it up.
Oh, I loved
it, Norman. We love talking about Vera, but so okay, so that happens. So then we get. Let's try to get through this. So then they have the other major confrontation about up when he decides he's going to go down to the town meeting after Old Girl delivers the stuff. He invites him to the town hall.
Small business group.
I think that she feels sorry for him. Did you see her eyes? She was like, are you okay? Yeah. You like, you're not getting it's, out.
She's, yeah.
He thinks that she's flirting with him, sure. But she's just like, oh, you know, your mother died. You're in that big house all by yourself.
Which is what's going to happen. He's going to first find out that husband is cheating, mm-hmm. and then get rid of him and be mad. And then he's going to go to her and like, you know, this guy's a bad guy. He's going to be like, I love him. He's fine. Like, well, then you're a whore, too. And then he's going to kill him.
Yes.
That's what's going to happen. Sorry. Anyway.
I think you might be right.
I'm sorry, release normal will think she's, you know.
Yes.
Anyway, so they have this wonderful big confrontation, you know, where he decides, I'm going to this thing, whether you like it or not. He runs down the stairs, fires up the old Mercedes, and hits the gas, and there she is. And he's like, how'd you get, what, Mom? He's supposed to be in the house.
Get back in the house.
You're so fast, yeah. Mom.
Lightning fast. So then this is the big reveal where Norma has a break it to him that, look, I'm here to protect you. Let me show you what I've done.
God damn it. Get over here and take a look at this.
Grabs him by the ear, yes. No doubt.
Yes. Then what does that look like in real life? He's just walking. Opens a freezer, shows him the body.
He didn't want to see the body.
Didn't want to see it.
Yeah, we see the
he's squeamish.
Yeah. Again, that whatever that little thing with the hook, that whatever that... That's a
that was a old, that's a the,
you call that thing.
Yeah, the what? Now yeah, it's box cutter.
Okay.
Box cutter.
The thing that Norma used to kill.
It's a box cutter.
Box cutter.
Yeah.
You couldn't take my word for it, but when Jules says
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay.
You go. Well, no. Box cutter authority.
I have to rely on that. Anyway,
so so we see the whole thing play
box
out.
Box cutter.
It's the body of see, Jim, by the way.
Jim. They go and then I love how they instantly go to the acceptance is so fast. Like, we know what to do.
I was going to take the car while before, you Mom. Were at the meeting. The way she dropped that was so...
It's a brilliant.
I was going to take the car while you were at the meeting.
Well, I can't let you do this alone.
I know how to get rid of it.
Doing this all to save you. This is why.
But it was the casual, it was the off-the-shoulder toss.
Yeah, so
it was just such an amazing choice. Because I love Vera Farmiga's acting.
And I just love how Norman's just like, well, we know what to do.
Gotta
and
do
he
it.
Reaches up to the plastic thing where he has a lot of the plastic.
Yeah,
up there.
Stacks and stacks.
One of many. Wraps it up. It's a very good. They get rid of the body together.
You know, not for sweet. Anything.
Did you guys notice that scene? So at season one, episode one, when they have to get rid of what was that guy's name that raped Vera Farmiga in season one?
Oh, bad. The first owner.
I want to call him Sully.
Rapey Raperson.
That's it.
So he.
Not to be confused with David Davidson.
No.
Yes.
Season one.
When they went out to the boat and they dropped the body in that wonderful Folgers moment, that was the same scene. And so I love how that in the very very
good
final
callback.
Series. Yeah. They do that again.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's a great callback. And so the phone rings, and they realize that who's on the phone? They're like, who is it? He picks up the phone, answers it, and who is it on the other line but our good man, Romero, from the Clink, putting on a hit on Norman because this kid has to go, which makes me rewind back to our boy Romero. But go ahead
let me say this. Yeah. Kudos to whoever made the cell phone that Jim had in his pocket, because that battery life is outstanding.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It sits in the freezer for a couple of days.
No problem.
And get it out on the lake. Great reception.
Great reception.
And bing, that sucker's got, boom.
That could be an iPhone commercial.
That should be. iPhone tie-in. You're welcome.
This is Romero. I mean,
you get whacked 3 days ago, your family can contact the killer.
We spent four seasons talking about how dark and mysterious Romero is.
He's
this is
darker.
The darkest he is. My man is working the heavy bag, like, you know, harder than Norman was working the old hammer. I'm sorry.
It'll be here till Thursday. I'm trying to finish.
This is going way off the rails. But like, no, he's working the heavy bag. Like,
he's working the heavy bag.
Like freaking George Foreman. Yeah. Like he's hitting it.
Guess who didn't mind? But his parole didn't.
Yeah. Like, boy, can he work a heavy bag? Yeah. So
we're out a digital copy, man.
So we were trying to remember. I mean, so Romero went down at the end of season four, presumably. Well, not presumably. We know that the whole sting on Bob Parrish went awry, but after it did or didn't happen, the DEA, I think it was the DEA, decided to take him down anyway, because guess what? He's a corrupt cop, which he kind of is.
Yeah.
Kind of. 100%.
So his parole's denied. And he's in there, hitting the heavy bag, putting out hits on Norman. That's a good way to start
straight
the show.
Straight up, putting out the hit from jail. Jailhouse hit!
Oh, I love it. So
this Death Row Records right here we got going on.
No, yeah, it's Suge Knight.
Straight up!
I don't think think Norman's going to like this very much, by the way. Maybe, I think Norman will go visit him in jail. We need a scene in Glass of Norman saying, I know it was you, Romero.
Oh, absolutely.
Face off. That'd be great.
I think Romero's going to get out.
Oh, Romero's going to get out for sure. Okay. We'll talk about that in predictions because we got to get out of here soon. But I wanted to briefly touch on, we got that long. That's good. Oh, that makes you feel so much better. Thank you.
Dilemma and Caleb?
Yes, Dilemma and Caleb. Dude. So we go back to, we go back to see a brand new life for Dylan. Dylan seems to have made a new life for himself.
Well, yeah. Ozzie Harriet style.
Yeah, he's got a, you know,
a nice
his voice.
Out in Seattle.
He's congratulating him on whatever he's doing
he's
for
his beer. Rep. He landed.
He's a beer rep. Oh, okay. He's selling IPAs to, you know,
I mean, Seattle.
Whomever.
Craft
beers. Craft all beers. The rage.
It's what I tell you all the time, Joe. If you can sell weed, you can sell beer.
Yes.
We all
know.
It's almost like it's two sides of the same coin.
Exactly. So he's doing well, and a healthy, you know, non-CF Emma.
How great is it to see her without an attachment, without a nasal cannula, nothing?
Yeah. No more Velma with the oxygen tank.
I love her.
No more capers for Emma.
She grew up real fast.
Yeah, it's maybe I'm too old for this, but, you know.
I kind of miss her.
I love that Emma. Yeah. Anyway. So good for them. They're together doing the thing. And who knocks on the door is their good friend, my arm wrestling buddy, Caleb.
Caleb.
You did. He beat you, didn't he? That's right.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
Kenny Johnson beats everybody.
No.
Isn't that the
arm wrestling?
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys arm wrestled, yes?
I beat him.
No, you didn't.
Check the tape.
That's Kenny's thing, is that no one beats him arm wrestling.
Yeah, maybe he lost, but who cares?
He didn't go to me. He didn't go after me. He didn't go after tall, skinny guys.
I think
he's like,
got some Norman psychosis going on.
But in my defense, I got nothing. He beat me. All right, so Kenny Johnson, Caleb, was here and was there. He shows up. And, God, how Kenny plays this Caleb.
Love it.
He's so sweet for an incest survivor, you know, perpetrator.
Just the most God, murdering, that is
murderer guy. But he's just like all shucks in it. There's like he's kicking a rock over to the side.
I'm always impressed by his performance because you don't expect it coming from a guy that looks like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I see him and I'm like, oh, Point Break, here we go.
Yeah.
But like,
grown-up surfer.
Yeah. But every time it's like nuanced and it's sweet and earnest. And I was like, oh, you're like bringing it every time, man.
Emma's not buying it though. She's like, you need to leave. I mean, you sleep and impregnate your sister one time and you're paying for it the rest of your life.
Exactly. But I thought she had, and also I think all that was just well acted. I think the bit where he shows up and the two of them and the look on, you know, Dylan's face is like, you know, it says it all. It's like, you're here, but you're my dad, but what am I going to do? And then Emma's kind of like, sucks, but I love you. It's your dad. Da, da, da. And then she's like, I'll handle this. And I think
protecting
the way she handled
her man.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that,
and
man.
And her daughter.
Yeah.
And her daughter, because.
But yeah,
the
baby,
this
I mean.
Is maternal instincts.
It is. I get that. But I think at this point, not to be dismissive of that, because you're 100% right, but I feel like it's more directed at Dylan than the baby. Because, I mean, the baby's a baby. There's no real danger that anything's going to happen to the baby. It's more like a psychological thing that she's protecting Dylan from. I love that her instinct was to get in there and handle it in such a gentle but firm, like, I get it. You help. You're the reason I'm alive. Yeah. I totally get it. I totally understand. You need to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
And it was so...
It had a lot of heart.
Yeah.
Emma's all heart.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Nestor talked about that when he was on back in season 2, I think, where that Emma's character is all heart. And she handles business. And so I think that I love that she has these gentle maternal gloves on now. But, yeah, you are not going to fuck with her family.
No,
yeah.
Get out. You're not supposed to be here. I love you, but bye.
Just to be clear, none of them know that Norma's dead, right?
Yes, that was so interesting to me.
It's fantastic, because like, they're going to find out, and when they all find out,
But we talked about it. We talked about it in the last season. We said that the only people in this thing that can have a good outcome would be Dylan and Emma if they get the hell out and never look back.
Yeah.
And
it's
kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like Lot's son, Lot and his daughters, right? Mm-hmm. Biblical. If you don't look back, you will be okay. You'll make it. If you look back, you're going to turn to a pillar of salt. So right now, we see them not looking back. We see them in Seattle. They've got the house. He's got the gig. She's healthy. We got the baby. Don't fucking turn around. If you turn around, it's all over.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think Emma senses that, which is another reason why she kicks Caleb out?
Ooh, I like that.
Well, I think what's interesting, I wonder about how this is all going to be resolved, because in the movie Psycho, obviously, Marion Crane goes, gets got. It's her sister and the weird sister's boyfriend who come into the town and crack the whole thing wide open. I don't think we need those extra characters to crack the whole thing wide open. I think the people who are going to replace Lila Crane and what was the dude's name? Sam Loomis are going to be Dilemma.
Oh, you think so?
They're the people who are going to come in and crack the case and be like, wait a minute.
Interesting.
Loomis is the name?
Sam Loomis is the guy, is the other guy. I think it's...
Because Madeline's last name is Loomis.
Oh. Yeah, that's Mark Madeline Loomis.
Maybe it's Sam Samuelson.
Interesting.
Maybe that's how they're doing it.
I doubt that was a mistake.
No.
Norma even says, Loomis? It's interesting, or something
like
that.
Yeah, they're not in the business of making mistakes.
Yeah, no.
Okay, that's interesting, because obviously, just so you know, in Psycho, the whole thing revolves around Marion Crane, played by Janet Leigh, who flees Arizona, steals some money, flees Arizona, stops at a motel, a bad stop, gets killed by Norman Norman's mother because he's crazy. Her sister is like, my sister's missing. I'm gonna go find her. Grabs her boyfriend Sam Loomis, and they go out, find the old sheriff, and between all of them, they basically run down Norman and figure out this whole thing is happening. There's a detective in there somewhere that gets got. I can't remember his name. Oh, yeah, Arbogast. Arbogast is the detective.
Yeah, he was the detective at the end, wasn't he? Like,
no, Arbogast is the guy who's hot on the trail. He's the guy who's basically like a. I think it's Arbogast. He's the guy, but he gets got.
Played by William H. Macy in the 90s version of Psycho.
Yes. And Arbogast is the guy who's actually figures the whole thing out. It's like, I think I got it solved. It seems to me this Norman is, then he gets got. But, so I don't know. I don't know how they're going to resolve all this, but I do know that Marion Crane is Rihanna. So, that's all I know. That's all I really care about. So a lot of great stuff. So we mentioned it earlier, but I did think it was very cool how it referenced he put the new shower curtain, the shower curtains up. All this foreshadowing. The shower curtains are up.
Get ready.
You know, he's doing the, you know, he's checking out the, you know, the couple in the next room. So we have a precedence of what he does and how he derives.
We got the yellow paint to make sure it's good and yellow. Because that's not going anywhere.
And it's all setting up quite nicely for everyone except for Rihanna. But we'll see. But what the loose ends we can talk about. Well, let's just jump to predictions, actually.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I was ready with that drop.
I want to talk about, like, what do we think? So how is Romero getting out and how? I have my thoughts on that. Is Romero getting out and how? What's going to happen with Caleb in general? Because the first episode Caleb shows up, he's going to be gone, but... Where's he gonna go? I mean, you know,
Caleb's gonna go look for Norma.
Yes.
Wasn't he in South America?
There's a granddaughter involved. Yes.
But because he asked, does Norma know?
Yeah.
He's gonna go. He's the one that's gonna look back.
Yeah. I think he's going to try to repair that relationship because now there's a granddaughter and that's pulled on his heartstrings. So he's gonna want to help his son out and repair the relations with his mother, so she could be involved, even if he can't be involved, as long as this baby has a grandparent.
Yeah. Well, if you follow Kenny Johnson on Instagram, as I do, you can see there's a lot of pictures of him in front of the Bates Motel and from the Psycho House.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know.
But I mean, maybe he's there hanging out on set, or maybe it's foreshadowing as well.
Well, that set is not over at Universal. That set's
exactly.
In Yale, Vancouver. So, it is. So anyway, I can't imagine he's just hanging out.
Yeah, so we'll see. I think that's that. So what do we think is going to happen, Julia? What's next?
Well, I just said I think Caleb's going to be the one to try to repair that relationship. I think we're going to have a...
Romero?
What about Romero?
What's going to happen with him?
I don't know yet.
All right.
I think a reason that Dilemma are going to head back up to Oregon. Down to Oregon, right?
Yeah.
Seattle and Oregon.
I think so.
I think the whole thing with her mother was never really resolved.
Right.
So I think there's something's going to drop where she's going to find out that her mother came looking for her, that her mother's missing, and that's going to be a catalyst to bring them back.
Makes sense. Dua, what do you got?
So I don't think David Davidson is his real name.
Oh! Dun, dun, dun. Ding, ding, ding.
I think, and I will agree with you, I think that that's Madeline Loomis's husband, which would make him...
Well, that would make him...
would that make him Sam Loomis?
That would make him Rihanna's... I said a thing. I said a thing, too. But that would make him Rihanna's... boyfriend.
So was that Rihanna?
Well, might have been Rihanna.
Sisters. Was that Rihanna under the umbrella?
Rihanna under the umbrella.
Oh, Ella, 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 Ella. Woo! I like it. I love it. Oh, good job.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Flip, what about you? I mean, let me ask you, like, how soon do we see Rihanna naked? What's your prediction on that?
I don't have thoughts on that.
All right.
I think, like I said, I think David is homegirl's husband, and I think that dilemma, like we talked about, I think that if they look back, they're screwed, and I think they're going to have to look back, otherwise the thing's not going to go anywhere. I feel like this little episode has been their Last Supper, like that one episode where everything was great. You remember that? This is their last episode. Last separate episode. But I think Romero gets out. I don't know how, though, because if he just got denied parole, he's not going to be up for parole again for another year.
Well, we got to get out of here. He's going to get out because someone's going to offer him a deal to go crack the case. He's got to bust something else wide open in White Pond Bay or somewhere else. The guy's got, we got one last shot. If you help us,
we'll
commute your sentence. You come out, help us with this other case to be named later. And while he's out there, he'll try to kill Norman or crack whatever.
There it is.
That's what I got to say. We got to go. We are incredibly late. Oh. Folks, thank you for joining us for episode one. We're very excited about episode two. Duo, where can people find you?
Twitter, at Duo Casey, KAISSI on the Twitters.
Julia.
Twitter, Instagram, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY.
Someone should write it down.
Here for Blacklist and Blacklist Redemption.
That's right.
Yeah. You can find me at Joe Filippo, JOEFLIPO on the Twitters. And that is it.
At Joe K. Braswell.
Go ahead.
At Joe K. Braswell on Twitter and Instagram. And yes, Blacklist is still on here.
It's on forever.
They're on episode 714.
They also have a spinoff called Blacklist Redemption, which we'll be doing both. Thank you very much for having us. This is great. Very good to be back. We'll see you next time. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.